Good morning. My name is Mesfin Mulatu. I am with the Program Evaluation Branch and the Division of HIV AIDS Prevention at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The topic of my presentation this morning is determinants of the availability of HIV testing and HIV AIDS education and counseling services in substance abuse treatment facilities in the United States in the year 2009. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dion Godet at the University of Georgia, Kimberly Thomas and Shubha Rao, both at CDC. And I have no relationship to disclose, so I'll move on. Generally, we know that substance use is a major risk factor contributing for the spread of HIV/AIDS. And more recent surveillance, as well as other epidemiological data, indicate that substance use-related HIV transmission accounts for more than one-fourth of HIV/AIDS cases in the United States. Substance use is linked to HIV both directly and indirectly, directly through exposure to HIV-contaminated drug use equipment, and indirectly through heightened high-risk sexual behaviors. In this context, substance abuse treatment programs can serve a critical function in HIV prevention by reducing substance use and its negative consequences, including HIV-related risk behaviors, and by providing an opportunity or an entry point for HIV prevention services to individuals that may have very limited exposure to the healthcare system. Recognizing the close link between substance use and HIV, public health agencies, including CDC and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, have either recommended or provided support for the provision of HIV prevention services in substance abuse treatment facilities. For example, CDC has recommended the expansion of HIV testing and referral services in healthcare settings, including substance abuse treatment programs in its 2001 and 2006 recommendations. SAMHSA has also provided funds to expand substance abuse treatment facilities' capacity to provide HIV prevention services, as well as to bring rapid HIV testing services as early as 2004. Along with these supportive initiatives, there are some very limited studies that have linked increasing availability of HIV prevention services to organizational factors, facility-based organizational factors, including, for example, the provision of public funding to these facilities or the availability of on-site medical care, accreditation, certification. All of these are organizational factors, facility-based organizational factors, that have been linked to the increased availability of HIV prevention services. However, these studies tend to be very limited in scope, and this study, therefore, aims to describe the levels of HIV testing and HIV education and counseling services nationally in U.S. Substance abuse treatment facilities, and to identify organizational factors that are associated with the availability of these services. The data for this study came from the 2009 National Survey of Substance Abuse Treatment Services, or NSATS. NSATS is an annual survey conducted by SAMHSA to assess the characteristics as well as the composition of the substance abuse treatment delivery system nationally. In 2009, SAMHSA had a list of 15,213 eligible facilities, of which 88% provided completed the survey and provided usable data, and that represents the 13,500 certain facilities represents the analytic sample for this study. Among the list of services surveyed, we chose two to serve as our outcome variables. Those were the availability or the facilities offering of HIV testing services and HIV/AIDS education and counseling services. There were also 18 facility-level organizational factors we thought would probably serve as potential determinants of HIV prevention services in these facilities. We grouped them into three just for the purpose of convenience, reporting convenience. The first group is service type and setting, and it includes 8 variables, including ownership, affiliation with a hospital, the type of services, whether they provide outpatient, residential, or services, and whether they operate an opiate replacement or detoxification programs. The next group includes 5 variables tied to revenue sources and reimbursement, including whether they accept government insurance or a private insurance, whether they receive public funding, and so on. The last group is about aggregate client characteristics. This includes 5 variables, such as client counts, the percent of those clients in with drug or alcohol problems or co-occurring mental health problems. We conducted 2 sets of analysis. The first one is very simple descriptive analysis to examine the levels of these services. And the second is a series of multivariate logistic regression analysis to examine the relationship between the 18 predictor variables and availability of either HIV testing, HIV/AIDS and education, or either one of these services. This slide presents the percent of facilities that provided HIV testing in orange, HIV/AIDS education and counseling in brown, both in green, and either one or both in brown. And overall, 60% of the facilities had provided HIV testing and or HIV/AIDS education and counseling services in 2009. And as I said before, we conducted a series of multivariate regression analysis to see which of the 18 organizational factors were related to HIV testing first, and then to HIV/AIDS education and counseling. And our analysis showed that the variables that predicted availability of testing and education and counseling were very similar. So we decided to present the findings for the analysis that looked at the predictors of availability of one or either one of the services. And as you can see in this table, we have, we present the associations between service type or service setting related factors and availability of any one of those services. And as you can see in highlighted, those highlighted ones were the significant ones, and we found that HIV prevention services were significantly more likely in facilities that were owned by government or nonprofit entities compared to those for private for-profit entities, facilities that were accredited or licensed, facilities that provided hospital or residential inpatient services, and facilities that provided detoxification programs were more likely to provide HIV prevention services, whereas facilities that provided outpatient treatment were less likely to provide HIV prevention services. In Table 2, we present the relationship between revenue sources and reimbursement and the availability of HIV prevention services and substance abuse treatment programs. And as you can see, we found that facilities that received public funding and those that accepted government insurance payments were more likely to provide HIV prevention services. In addition, those facilities that provided payment assistance to their clients were more likely to provide HIV prevention services. Finally, in Table 3, we present the relationship between aggregate client characteristics and the offering of any one of these prevention services, and the results reveal that facilities with larger number of clients and those with higher proportion of clients with co-occurring mental health problems were more likely to provide or offer HIV prevention services. In contrast, those with larger proportions of alcohol abusing clients were less likely to offer HIV prevention services. This slide summarizes the three busy tables that I showed you. I ran quickly over and provided an additional information. Overall, taken together, all of these 18 factors accounted for about 32% of HIV testing, about 19% of HIV/AIDS education and counseling services, and about 23% of the availability of one or both services in substance abuse treatment programs. This study suffered three limitations. First, NSAID does not cover all substance abuse treatment facilities and services. For example, substance abuse treatment programs in correctional facilities were not included in this survey. And we also, the survey did not also include very important facility, client, or contextual level, for example, policy-related variables that may be potentially important determinants of the offering of HIV prevention services in these facilities. Second, as I indicated earlier, 12% of the facilities did not provide, did not complete the survey or provided only incomplete data, and therefore the findings are very limited to those facilities that provided information, and further analysis that takes into account missing data would be necessary for the future, in the future. And finally, NSAID is a cross-sectional survey, and the relationships that we present here are correlational. Like, we could not make any causal inferences between any two, between these variables. In summary, in 2009, nearly 40% of the substance abuse treatment facilities nationally did not offer any HIV prevention services. This represents a major missed opportunity, a gap in HIV prevention programming for a potentially high-risk population. Our analysis also revealed that organizational factors, facility organizational factors, were very important determinants of the availability of these services. And our findings revealed that facilities with better opportunities to monitor their clients or have the capacity to offer biomedical services, those with multiple financial resources and lower profit motivation, and those with better oversight and regulation are more likely to provide HIV prevention services. From a public health programming perspective, efforts to expand HIV prevention services need to account for these facility-level organizational characteristics. And finally, when all the organizational factors are taken together, we accounted for less than a third of the likelihood of offering either one or both of these services. This implies that there are other potentially more powerful factors that may explain why some facilities offer HIV prevention services and others did not. Therefore, further research on other client, organizational, and broader contextual factors is recommended to shed more light on the determinants of HIV prevention, to use that information for improving services, and to curtail the spread of HIV among these high-risk populations. And I acknowledge these persons, and this is my contact address. Thank you.